Hello, church. It's me, Beth, in case you don't know who I am. Now, even as Bede was reading that passage, I thought of a whole new sermon I could give you. So there is a lot there, and the Holy Spirit always speaks through different ways. So even Tog's sermon this morning was different to mine, so I definitely recommend going and listening to that after, whenever it's online. But yeah, as Beej gave the spoiler away, I'll tell you now. This is a letter on how to run a church well. And that theme goes through the whole of the letter. So I'm just going to recap, because we've had quite a long break since we last did it. So we started off with chapter one, with John Lyle in the 4 p.m. service. He challenged us to come back to our primary calling of loving God with our whole hearts, minds, bodies, and souls. Then in chapter two, Ed spoke of proper worship and how to focus on God in that time. In chapter three, Jude expanded and told us how to structure a church to give the right leadership and how we are all leaders in our own sphere. And Jerome gave a very personal sermon on chapter four, on being godly, and the way to do that is to know Jesus. We can breathe now. So yeah, as we're saying, I'm just gonna just move forward, just get a bit cozy with you all, you know. There we go. So yeah. Some of you may have turned off when I announced the sermon was about running a church. You might think that it was just for Jude, or even just for the staff team. That even the thought of a sermon series on leading made you want to stay in bed, which at 4 p.m. in the afternoon is pushing it for an excuse. I'm here to tell you that it is not just about running a church. This chapter is also instructions, or this letter is also instructions on how to be a church member. Phew. We are not just members of a church, but we are family. I got all my sisters with me. We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. But to be family, we want to become like peas in a pod. And I have got a beautiful slide of us as peas in a pod. I didn't ask anyone permission for a picture of an old lady, so I got one off the internet. So she doesn't go to our church, but there you go. We'll get to that later. So we all want to become like peas in a pod. Each are individual and unique, but alike in our love for one another and for Jesus Christ. The husk or the pod that surrounds us is made up of things that brings us together and keeps us from going astray. We're going to keep this in mind as we dig deeper into chapter 5. So in our pod we have different peas, and I'm going to hold this up when I'm talking about peas in a pod. This one isn't supposed to be angry. He's just supposed to look different from the other ones. So I'm going to hold this up when I'm talking about peas. So we're going to talk about peas. Our first P is people like Timothy, a young leader of a church, finding his way and writing to his mentor for guidance. Here's how it might have sounded. Oh, wait, he's over here.
Well, Paul, after all I have told you about the false teachers in the area, the unruly men and women in the congregation, questions on how to decide on good leaders of the church, and my request for a workout regime, I still need your help on a few more matters. First, is my congregation, they're separating out into cliques, and they're not living together. So how do we live in the light of your salvation, God? Secondly, Paul, one of our purpose groups, Peace and Justice, I think they're called, are leading the way in our Widows Outreach programme. They're doing a great job. But we don't have enough to provide for them all. So can you please give us some wisdom on this? Thanks, Paul. I also need some easily remembered one-liners about praying and keeping leaders accountable to whip out every now and again. My stomach bug is still giving me grief, and I don't know what to do about it. Help! And after the easily remembered one-liners, I'd really like a cryptic message about sin, judgment, and good deeds. And finally for now, Paul, Christian slaves and their masters are getting to a bit of a pickle. Could you please back me up on the need to treat their masters with gentleness and kindness because they're fellow believers and are one big family? Thanks, Paul. There might be a bit more next week.
Thank you, Ed. I mean, Timothy. So, yes, that's how it might have sounded. Timothy was reaching out. He is very capable. He has studied for his job. He has got some training. But he still needs help from those older and wiser than him. We can all think of ourselves as peas in the pod alongside Timothy. The pod keeps us on the same level. The pod for this chapter is made of the more alliterative type of pea. I've got another side of my... When I'm talking about these sorts of peas, you'll get this one. So, so it's four peas. They are purity, provision, and patience. You'll have to stay tuned for the fourth P, and there will be a quiz later on. Each is advocated in this chapter to bring us together and to hold us close. So the first part of the pod, purity, covers verses 1 and 2. There are four P's in this section. First is older men of the congregation. Men who are older than us, we are to treat with respect for their likely advanced wisdom. We can rebuke them if necessary, and we should do if they are wrong, but in a way that takes their stature into consideration. In early September, the staff team went on a retreat, and at the top of the hill we climbed, Kirsty showed us that the selfie mode on her phone tells you how old it thinks you are. Much hilarity ensued, especially when Jude had a go and it judged him to be 52 years old. Which apparently isn't how old he is, but I haven't got any evidence to the contrary. So that's what we're going with. P number two in this section, our old lady from the internet. I don't know what comes to mind for you when I say the line, treat them as mothers. But for me, it holds a sense of being loved by and cared for by them. Being guided by them, as mothers tend to do, but also following that guidance, as we might tend not to do. Drawing on the idea of us being family changes how we look at one another. We don't see each other as rivals, trying to beat each other to the top, as the rest of the world seems to. But we are all equals within our pod. There are two more P's, which are younger women. I was guessing that T is younger than me. I don't know if she is, but she's up there. And so is Benaiah West, the second from there, because he's just really cute. So they are to be treated as sisters and brothers. Not like the brothers or sisters you may have, but with absolute purity. Earlier in 1 Timothy, those with a pure heart are loving and they please God. They are people trying to be godly and holy, which is basically all that we're called to do in the Bible anyway. So, Togs said it this morning, but if you're looking at how to treat each other with purity, we want to look at Jesus Christ. We're going to take a short moment to reflect on purity now. Take a moment to consider your actions to one another. Do you act with purity and respect? Who can you easily see as brothers and sisters? And who isn't as easy? We're going to take a moment to pray for a pure heart. So we've had a thought, think about purity. Our next P for verses 3 to 16, our next P is provision. The more business side of family really kicks in here. In Timothy's church, their most prevalent group in need were their widows. On here we've got the lady for the Scottish widows advert, because we don't have any widows in the church that I know of. So as we look after the people in need, we don't forget the need for pure actions. We still want to act with a pure heart, but we get extra guidelines on how to do that. So at the time, the Roman Empire was pretty strong, and whilst Timothy's church was growing. And one thing that served them well to remain strong was their emphasis on the family unit. So nearly everyone got married at that time. So when a woman found herself as a widow, she needed care. She needed looking after. And in Acts 6 verse 1, we see the issue of overlooked widows arises in the early church. So to sort out this problem, the church will have had a pension fund. This will be like a pot of money or food that they would give away. To wisely distribute this food or money, certain criteria had to be filled by the widows. If they still had children or grandchildren, they would be able to provide for them. So they had to look after their widowed mother or grandmother so that the church, so pressure would be alleviated from the church. It was also a good way for the family to put their faith into practice and to show their love for others. The widow, truly without any family, would then be provided for by the church. But she wasn't without power. It was very important for those widows to earnestly pray for the church and to ask for God and ask God for help in lots of situations. This was their way of giving back to the church, and it's part of their spiritual ministry. They were focusing on their lives, not only on themselves, but they were living it to the full and not living as though dead by praying for their church. However, in modern times, as I pointed out, I haven't pointed it out, don't know why I said that. In modern times, widows are provided for financially by insurance or other means, but they can become lonely or withdrawn. Therefore, the church can care for their emotional needs. The student charity Just Love had an event in November last year where they had afternoon tea with retired people just to chat with them and show them some love. So this is a way that we can give too. But if tea and cakes isn't your thing, there are plenty of others in need that you can provide for. We don't get off that easily. Our students, for one, spring to mind. Many of them lack funds to pay for food, and their rent definitely outweighs their student loan. So we provide meals for them at Mammoth Monday. Some of you provide student lunches on a Sunday, and it's a great way to help them be connected to the church and help them become part of that family and ensuring that they don't starve. We also have student mentoring, which is a great ministry, so grateful for, that once a month, other members of the congregation come in and come alongside some of our students, and they also take them out for coffees outside of the Monday nights. But they provide friendship and comfort for their emotional needs, and those students have someone praying for them regularly, which is amazing as well. If you're not involved in any of these things, and want to be, or don't want to be, but could be, you can chat to me after the service. But students, you can also be praying for your church that we grow together and can better serve the community. We are especially praying at this time, as Kirsty and Jesus are going to open up the doors to STJ Minis, a new congregation and toddler group, which will minister to the needs of parents in Toxteth, their need for companionship, love, and for Jesus. If you're free on a Thursday morning and can play with kids, chat to mums, make tea, talk to Kirsty about helping out. She would love to have you. And keep looking for those you can care for in their need. So that was about provision. So we're going to take another moment to reflect and think about who we provide for. Are there people in our lives that are in need of prayer? We're going to take some time to pray for them now. So we've still got some more to go, so I'll bring it back in. You might have noticed that you've got some pea and pod-like pieces of paper on your chair, lovingly made by myself and Jerome. So these are to take away with you to remind you that you are peas in a pod with your church family. There's also some pens if you'd like to draw faces on them to make it more fun. You can take them with you, or you can do that during the rest of the sermon if you need a distraction, I don't know. So we have been talking about a few different types of pea. We have peas in a pod, and we've also had to treat each other with purity and provide for the needs of others. The penultimate pea is patience. Tying together the final verses, 17 to verse 6, verse 2. Though some of them may be self-explanatory, they take patience to carry out. Elders are part of the family, another pea in our pod. They are the overseers and need to ensure all the parts are getting along and working well together. This is more work than the rest of us do in church, however many rotas we are on. Therefore, we have to treat them with the respect they deserve and have worked for. I did just notice what Beej was doing, the reading, that it's those elders who are doing their job well that deserve respect. So if they're not doing it well, then they've got another thing coming. However, those on lots of rotas do also deserve respect, especially when Andy used to empty the toilets for us, and now the students that clean them for us. So I want to say thanks to those people when you see them next. As with older men, and even more so, we are to keep elders accountable. If an accusation is made against them, patience is needed to check the credibility of it. This is not done by discussing it amongst ourselves to be a topic of gossip, but by seeking guidance from another member of staff or another elder in the church. Those on the PCC would be a good example of people to go to. If found to be true, action is required. This is not to be done in the dark behind closed doors, but in the open. We're not making a spectacle of those elders, but as it says, we need to show that we're acting upon it and be done as a warning to other people. We are still to treat our elders with purity. The same is true when appointing new leaders of any kind. Patience is required to get to know them and seeing whether their heart is truly for God. Just thinking about the children's work, DBS checks can take a long time to process. take a while to go through, and we can get impatient with that process. But we are grateful for the process to ensure the well-being of our young ones and all of us. Taking time to pray through this process is important to see God's heart. Patience can also strip back our partiality to certain people. We are not to bring up leaders simply out of the coolest people in the congregation. We should take time to find those quietly on fire for God. We also shouldn't just invite the richest people who can pay for new toilets to be peas in our pod. But everyone who walks through the door is welcome. In the final verses of chapter 5, they may seem at odds with the clear-cut instructions that have gone before them. Paul here is still helping Timothy discern who to elect as leaders and advocating patience once again. Those whose sins are obvious, we wouldn't elect as leaders, but we would come beside them and help them come close to God first. Others that are better at hiding their sins and appearing well put together, we are being reassured that their sins will also come to light in God's judgment. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, "For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." We are all brought to the same level at the foot of the cross, and we stay on that level as peas in our pod. In chapter 6, Paul mentions slaves and masters. They are once again peas in a pod, if they are believers. They are family. Be rest assured, Paul is not advocating slavery in these two verses. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 10, he lists slave traders as being against sound doctrine and unrighteous. But what Paul doesn't want to do is detract from the main message, from the gospel message, by talking about another controversial issue. In this case, the freeing of slaves. Instead, he wished that those in slavery would treat their masters as they would any believer, because we are all dear to each other. I do not believe that Paul would advocate slavery now or recommend it, but as always, his focus was the gospel first. So, a bit more reflection. There are a lot of areas that we need to be patient in. Perhaps we should be patient in all things. Let's take a moment to think about our tempers or think about our patience. We're going to pray about areas where we can be more patient. So, we are all peas in a pod. We are all family, fam. We are held together by purity, provision, and patience. But what is the final P? The most important one, I would say. I'm going to open this up to the room now. Can any of you guess what the final P is? It's not Pinot Grigio, no. It's not purple. Come on, guys. Oh, what was that, Jerome? It was prayer. Yes, it was prayer. I did mention it a few times throughout the sermon in case you weren't listening. So I'd like the band to come up. So the final P is prayer. the thing that really holds us together, ensures we're growing to become like Jesus, is prayer. We want to pray for our church. We want to pray for one another. We want to pray for those in need. We want to pray for everything. As Paul says in Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.